His name is Peter Baldwin, and he's the founder of Bird Dogs Shorts. You've probably seen him on Shark Tank, where Mark Cuban obliterated his pitch. Look, Mark, he'll admit it. The invention of the first ever stretch khaki shorts that feel amazing, look amazing, and can wear literally anywhere wasn't his best idea. But he's got more, like Dog Trader. Just like Auto Trader, but you can sell your old dog. Eh? Mark, I know you'd invest if you just gave him one more shot. So go to birddogs.com/radio and join the 2 million men who think Bird Dogs shorts are a great idea. Or DM Mark Cuban and tell him to give Peter one more shot.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So Showtime had DK Metcalf on, and I did see this clip floating around X or Twitter, whatever people call it. And I didn't listen to it, but I was able to understand most of it just seeing some of the tweets, and I know this is going to annoy me. So DK Metcalf shares his diet.
I'm a candy type person.
Oh, what?
I eat one meal a day, drink one coffee, and eat like 3-4 bags of candy. So yesterday I woke up, worked out again, came home, showered. I'm hungry. Run to Starbucks, get a quick coffee. That's gonna hold me till like 4-5 o'clock. This 12. Okay. So it's gonna hold me for like 4 hours.
Dang.
Around 4:30, I order some candy and a water. So I got the Skittles gummies. Then I got the Lifesaver Creations. They the same size bag, so I just mix them. Eat that, that's gonna hold me to like 8 o'clock where I'm having dinner, 8, 9. And then I eat dinner, go to sleep.
Yeah, that annoys me. Because that sounds awesome, even though I don't think it's enough food. But I do think that's awesome that you could be in that great of shape where you look like a Greek god and you eat like complete crap. Where you have one meal, you have a cup of coffee, and then 3 bags of candy. That's crazy, Hickey. But you're kind of like that, too. It's amazing to me how all you do is eat pasta, and you're in pretty good shape as well. Now, you're not as good a shape as DK Metcalf, clearly.
Which I think I got up my diet here. I'm listening to DK. Listen, he looks like that. Why can't we both look like that doing the same thing?
Well, you don't work out as much as he does.
I can start.
I think
2 workouts, 1 coffee, 3 bags of candy, dinner. That to me sounds like the recipe for a 6-pack in no time.
I would just be very careful if I was you, because DK Metcalf is tough. And for you, you had a little finger injury over the weekend because you were swimming in the pool and now you have a splint on your hand.
I mean,
so I think you guys are different bodies.
A spade a spade here. I dislocated my finger. I put it back in myself.
That's not tough.
And then did not go to the doctor till a day and a half later. How many people are doing that? I'm not going to say a lot.
Yeah.
I am in the minority of tough guys that fix their own injuries, don't complain about it.
Yeah.
I barely told anyone it happened.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was move on, get a little ice, wrap it up, no big deal. The game kept going. I didn't stop.
Yeah.
I'm a tough. Sure. I'm in. If DK Metcalf is in the tough guy club,
stop.
I am in that same club.
Stop. No, you're not. You're not.
I am in there.
Just stop. Stop.
You
just sound like an idiot. We're all dumber from hearing what you just said on the radio. It's actually embarrassing that you would have that take to 200 great affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158. If they are airing us tonight, you never know. There could be a few baseball games on and that free Odyssey app. And I'm looking at Hickey and he's flexing.
This is not an inspiration for you?
No, but I think the image that you think you are is totally different than what people actually see. It's just tough for me to hear you say that you're a tough guy when you sound as if you're like a 14-year-old boy when you speak.
Well, you're making me sound like a wimp. So if anything, again, I think my actions and what I did signify the total opposite of that.
For some reason, I can't get your injury correctly, even though you said it 9,000 times.
Dislocated finger.
Yeah,
that's no joke.
My brain isn't working today, and I also just unplugged my headphones because I was trying to not hear this stupidity anymore. But you had a dislocated finger.
Dislocated finger.
Okay.
That's serious.
Who suffers a dislocated finger swimming a lap in a pool?
People that are swimming really fast and don't realize the wall's right there.
Stop.
So I was not only tough, I was also swimming as fast as Michael Phelps.
Okay.
So you talk about get you a man who can do both.
You weren't even close to swimming what Michael Phelps does.
I got to find the video. I think it's out there.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I might release it if I can find it.
This is all my fault because I will challenge you to go out of your comfort zone. And now all of a sudden this is just blowing up in my face because you think you're this absolute stud and you try to be bombastic on the radio. Just absolutely crazy. So if you could do the DK Metcalf dive, what would your three bags of candy be?
Swedish fish. Peanut butter M&M's. Like the peanut butter, not the peanut M&M's. Peanut butter M&M's.
Yeah. In the yellow bag?
In the red bag. No.
Oh,
you're
I've had
those. Peanut M&M's. Nope, that's in the yellow bag.
I've had
bag.
Those with the peanut butter filling in it.
Peanut
delicious.
Butter M&M's yep. In the red bag. Mm-hmm. Fire.
When I had my Aaron Rodgers diet, if you know what I'm saying, I was looking for a little munchies at the 7-Eleven. I had those peanut butter M&M's. Delicious in the red bag. Phenomenal.
And you know what's good? I don't know exactly. I forget what they're called, but like those, not the peach rings. I guess, yeah, peach rings. I do. Okay. Peach rings are gas.
I'm more of a chocolate guy. I would say a bag of M&M's, definitely. Reese's peanut butter cups, 100%. And then, can I ask a dumb question here?
Sure.
Would trail mix be considered candy?
No. The M&M's are candy inside the trail mix,
yeah.
But trail mix is not candy.
I don't know why I was trying to go healthy there. Another bag of candy.
Twizzlers, like mini Twizzlers?
Oh, yeah, give me some Twizzlers.
Okay.
I like that. Santa had some Twizzlers in the studio a few days ago, and I was just taking a bunch of his Twizzlers, and he's wondering where the heck they all did go.
How many days could you do the diet consistently? Like
4 years ago?
Before you quit.
4 years ago, and I did not care about the way that my body looked, I could easily do that.
You're
now,
not going to get fat, though. It's not a lot of food.
No, but now it's like I have one good meal, and my body like internally just says to me, you can't eat the way that you used to eat anymore.
If you started today, could you make it a Friday eating just what DK Metcalf does? Three bags of candy, one coffee, and one meal.
No, I drive myself mentally insane.
Okay.
Let's go to Andy Reid. He says he's not concerned about Chris Jones losing $50,000 a day for holding out as he wants a new contract and he wants at least $30 million.
There had been communication. We'll see where it goes from here. We'll take it. If you're not here, we just keep moving, and that's how we roll. We don't worry a lot about that. We let it take care of itself, and we got great people working on that. So I'm not worried about that.
That is the difference from Andy Reid and Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott, when the whole Stephon Diggs situation happened, where they had some sort of kerfuffle behind the scenes, and then either he was sent home or he just went home and said, "I'm not going to the meeting." Whatever happened, I know that. Josh Allen, when he did speak, said that it was more so he was sent home talking about Stephon Diggs. And who knows if that's true. But then Sean McDermott gets in front of the podium and goes, "Yeah, I'm overly concerned that he's not here." Andy Reid goes, "The wheel keeps on spinning. When you want to join, okay, we'll figure it out." And then you eliminate pretty much for the most part all distractions. Let's go to Nick Chubb. This was right after all the running backs had a Zoom call. And he said it was nice to talk, but we kind of realized that we're powerless right now.
Well, I mean, right now it's just talk. You know, there's really nothing we can do. We're kind of handcuffed with the situation. But I mean, I felt what I took from it, McCaffrey and Derrick Henry and Saquon, I had a lot of good points. But the biggest thing is that we're the only position that our production hurts us the most. You know, if we go out there and run for 2,000 yards with so many carries, the next year they're gonna say, you know, you're probably worn down. That's the biggest thing that I took from it. It's just, I mean, it's tough. You know, it hurts us just to go out there and do good. It hurts us at the end of the day.
So I understand both sides of this argument, Hickster. I feel bad for running backs because clearly you know that you only have a certain amount of years in the NFL, especially at that position, and the shelf life is pretty short.
and you're going out and you're dominating, you're expecting these big numbers because of what running backs got in the past, but the game has totally changed. The NFL does not value bell cow backs anymore. They value running backs by committee. And I understand the owner side of it and the general manager side of it. It's like, okay, we'll take what we would pay one great running back and just build a committee of running backs and use that salary when we're more focused on throwing the ball and paying wide receivers as well to then allocate and spread out amongst two to three players at the running back position where everyone knows you need a run game, but you don't need a bell cow back. And you could make the case the last great running back to win a Super Bowl was Marshawn Lynch. Last 10 Super Bowl champions, not a lot of these running backs are actually memorable.
It's pretty depressing when he accurately says that basically the better they do, the more questions that are out there. Like, it doesn't matter how good we are, and he's right. Like,
too many hits, right?
Josh Jacobs, right? Like, 1,600 yards, led the NFL, and it's, well, it's a lot of carries on his body. Can he survive the wear and tear for next year? Where any other position, it's you ball out and lead the league in passing or receiving yards. It's, oh, get, well, please, we're dying to give you as much money as you can. Sign here. And running backs, it's actually, oh, you did really well. Congrats. Actually, never going to go the other way. That's less of a reason why we don't want to sign you.
So I really liked Reggie Bush. What was it? Big Noon Kickoff on Fox?
Big Noon.
I was going to call it High Noon, like the drink. They should probably sponsor that. But now they're getting rid of Reggie Bush. Mark Ingram is going to be replacing Reggie Bush. And Mark Ingram was talking to Yahoo Sports, and he says he won't actually allow his son to play running back moving forward.
You almost tell the kid to play a different position. If you're a running back in high school, if you're a running back in middle school, my son will not be playing running back. He will be backpedaling, he will be running routes, or he will be throwing the football because those are the positions that are getting paid. If he's big enough, hopefully he'll be a pass rush DN. You know what I mean? So it's just highly unfortunate what's happening to the running back.
Can I ask you a serious question here? Did you just injure yourself again? I saw you trying to backpedal when Mark Ingram was saying backpedal, then you started grabbing your back. You're a brittle mess today.
I did not injure myself again. This is another injury that I'm nursing from the weekend. My body's in shambles. I jammed my right third toe on a rock. Was bleeding for like 10 minutes. I don't know what happened. I mean, we played a lot of bottle bash, which is the frisbee game where you throw the frisbee out of a ski pole and a bottle on the beach. Uh-huh. Played that for like 3 hours. So maybe it was just the hundreds of frisbee throws I had that I'm not used to it. So my lower left back is hurting bad. My right middle finger is dislocated. My underarm is also a little sore as well, probably also from the frisbee throws. I am kind of beat up from the weekend.
Yeah, but you're a tough guy. You're swimming in the pool, you dislocate your finger, you stub your toe, and you play too much frisbee, and your back and arm hurts.
Isn't that that's the definition of tough guy?
Oh, my God. What a loser.
I am gutting it out right now. I'm not complaining. I am here doing my job, and I'm not telling you I'm hurt. By the way, you had to, like, I didn't tell you about the splint. You had to look at it. I didn't tell you about the back injury. I tried to just mimic what
you were just hunched over
Mark
in pain.
Ingram was doing, right. But you saw it because I didn't make it obvious, or I didn't tell you. I just unfortunately moved and felt a little back spasm. But being tough also is not telling everyone you're hurt. It's just pushing through, putting your head down, and working. And not to brag, for the last 5 hours, that's what I've been doing.
Okay. I don't think you realize this. Your body is breaking down very quickly. You're closing in on 30 years old.
Well, and you are closing in.
You're closing in. You're a year away.
11 months.
You're past your prime. That's what we're learning.
11 months from today, but who's counting?
You peaked in high school. It's never good to peak in high school. But I think you peaked in high school. Yeah, you did. That was your.
I was ugly in high school.
Apex. That was your apex of your athletic achievement.
I think I'm still peaking.
No,
I'm only 50 years old, still thinking like I'm 15, being an athlete. Yeah. I can't help it.
And you're going to be walking around with one shoulder on the ground. Oh, I was playing pickleball and I had an Achilles injury. And then I was swimming and I dislocated my finger again and I stubbed my toe for the 10th time this week on a rock. Jeez Louise. Dan Campbell says the biggest enemy for the Lions this season are the expectations.
I think is always the thing that's going to worry you is the hype train. I mean, as with most coaches, you know, this thing is just taking off and it's out of control right now. And that's fine as long as we stay focused on the job at hand and the work. I just keep going back to that. We got to put the work in and earn it.
You guys should embrace the expectation. I'm not saying he's not, but their only enemy are the expectations. You guys aren't a slam dunk to win this division. Now, the Vikings are not slouches. Packers, I don't think you're going to be horrible. So let's see if you guys could all put it together and do something the Lions haven't done in a long time. Terry McLaurin and Jonathan Allen from last week discussed their excitement for new ownership. Say goodbye to Daniel Snyder, that pig, and hello to Josh Harris. This courtesy of the We Are Commanders social media.
Terry McLaurin.
Jonathan Allen.
Yes, sir. We here at the owners' press conference welcoming our new owners. We're excited to enter this new day.
Looking forward for a new season, man.
Yeah, man.
Been a lot of things going on, so to have this new ownership group come in and just really just give us a refresh, you know, feeling in the city is huge. So we're looking forward to see you guys at training camp and at first preseason game.
He said it all, man. We appreciate y'all's support. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
Look, man.
So I was thinking about this over the weekend, Hickey, and I didn't hear this audio until just now. Do you think the players really care? I know that Daniel Snyder is an absolute disgrace, and he brings so much bad publicity and just does so many disgusting things to an organization. But a guy like Jonathan Allen got paid. A guy like Terry McLaurin got paid. You think they really are that excited about a change in ownership here?
I would think so, because I think at this point you want to win as well. And I think you've seen just him and being heavily involved in decision-making, notably bringing Carson Wentz in last year, thinking that's going to be the answer. Not going well. I think that you are excited of, okay, maybe now we can get back on the winning track where monetarily, like I said, there was never an issue of them getting paid, but now you feel like you can win more than you could before.
Here's why players should care. I actually think you'll have some fans showing up this year. And there'll actually be some excitement, and you'll be able to be proud, even though like you get paid, okay, it's great, but there was so much apathy with that fan base because Daniel Snyder was such just a jackass. And now you actually have Commanders fans who are excited to go maybe to attend games actually this year instead of that just being a road game each and every time.
I mean, I've never heard of outside of the Raiders, a team tarping off and closing their stadium and lessening the capacity because no one was going.
Jaguars have done that before. They cut off certain sections and things like that to avoid blackouts and things along those lines.
I guess.
Colts had to pump in some fake crowd noise.
Well, the point is the Commanders at one point had the biggest stadium and they said, actually, we have no one here to make it look better. Let's just
and it's a
start
dump of
taking
stadium.
Rows off the top.
Brian Harman, he wins the Open Championship, and this is how he'll celebrate the victory.
I had a nice week a couple weeks ago, and I bought a new tractor for my hunting place. So I'll get home, and I'll be on the tractor mowing grass into next week. I'll be very excited about that.
So that's going to be your reward. You're going to ride your tractor.
Yeah, I might take a whole day and just put my phone away and go get on the tractor.
I'm a little bit lost because I've never known an Open champion celebrate by mowing grass on a tractor.
I got a lot of layers, man. I'm like an onion. It's a 105-horse Kubota tractor, and it's going to be a pretty one. I haven't told my wife how much I spent on it. So.
That's awesome. I don't think that tops the Waffle House visit by Trevor Lawrence after winning that playoff game, but it's pretty boss move where you win and all you want to do is just go on your tractor and enjoy life for Brian Harman. I like that, Hickey.
As a fellow lawn enthusiast, I agree. It's very cathartic to just have a nice, clean cut grass.
I don't know if I'm cutting you the trusting you to cut my grass, if I'm being honest.
I do a really good job. My dad was very strict growing up, so I learned the lines.
But with
I
all these injuries,
how
I'm
to
saying,
bag.
I think you're a liability now.
I have, in my 29 years of life, never hurt myself cutting the grass.
Can I see that finger that you dislocated?
That was from swimming, not grass cutting.
Next week.
No, come on. I know what I'm doing.
I also thought you knew how to swim before this week.
I am not going to wood, though, just in case.
Yeah, you're a little bit nervous. Let's be real there. All right, let's go to David in Buffalo, who wants to chime in on Brian Harman and the Open Championship victory. David, what do you got?
Hey, Zach, I appreciate you taking my call tonight, man. You know, I look at this in a couple ways. First off, I couldn't believe those, knowledgeable English golf fans were booing him on the first tee. I thought that was totally classless and disrespectful. This is not an NFL game or an NBA game. To me, I just couldn't believe they were doing that. It just seemed kind of out of line, if you ask me.
One heckler said to him after, I think he bogeyed, that he didn't have the stones he revealed after the match to win. I was a little bit surprised by that with usually the culture around golf.
Yeah, I was too, man. It's not in the Ryder Cup. Maybe I could see that, but not at a major. It just seemed surprising. And the other thing too was, you know, to me, it just shows how deep the game of golf is. I mean, you think about all these guys who took the blood money from the Saudis that were the big name guys that obviously didn't play great in this tournament. And you know, you look at the depth of the PGA Tour and just golf in general. I mean, to me, how many people last week of the experts, the Brandel Chamblees, all these guys had Harmon in there as a favorite to win? Nobody had him. And this guy, you know, has kept his tour card all these years, and he's not a bomber off the tee. So a really impressive win for him. To me, the reality was he played a lot like Tiger did years ago at this course, except he hit a driver off the tee and Tiger used irons because the conditions were a little different. But appreciate the time, man, and you have a good night.
Yeah, appreciate it. So I do agree sort of with David where you did not expect some of the booing to participate and happen at an Open Championship. But Hickey, I think for the sport of golf, that's not the worst thing in the world. As long as it's respectful, like it's not going on during the backswing or when you're lining up to hit a putt, something like that. But I don't mind having a little personality and having some people who are maybe not that liked by certain golf fans. And I know this is the completely different setting. I was at Waste Management this year, but I think having a little bit more personality from the fans isn't the worst thing in the world. Now, you don't want it to be over the top because it's part, right? There's still a certain respect level with golf, but I don't think it's the end of the world. But I was a little bit, because the guy's American, you're going to boo him? I thought that was stupid by a lot of those fans.
I think villains in sports are good.
Not bad, yeah.
So you mean it's like you want to root for, you know, whatever golf you want to win. Obviously, you're watching for that. But I think also another reason people watch and fans have an interest is because you don't want to see someone else win. And so usually it brings out some nice passion, and we always revel in, you know, the crowds at any other sporting event, how good it is here. I did appreciate the fact that, again, if you don't want Brian Harmon to win, I don't think you should be faking it like they do a lot in golf and a lot in tennis. You're cheering for both guys, and anytime they make a shot, even if it's not the guy you want to win, you're still cheering. I kind of like said, as long as it's on the backswing, you're not actually disrupting the golfer in a way that is you're not supposed to, I had no problem with a little jeering, a little booing.
Like when Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, before they found a way to become friends again or friendly again, I thought that rivalry was good for golf. And at the time, I thought, even though LIV Golf was criticized in a pretty big way, I thought maybe you would have some rivalries between the LIV Golf guys and the PGA Tour guys when they meet up at major championships. But that kind of lasted for two or three majors at most. And then we all know what happened with the PGA Tour taking the Saudi money as well. But it's impossible. It's the toughest sport to predict. Now, who had Brian Harmon shooting a 65 on the second day of the tournament? It's just it's the toughest thing to predict. Rory's been really close to win another major championship this year and has been able to get over the hump. I felt good for Cameron Young. At one point, I saw he was up at second on the leaderboard, and he revealed some stuff to us. And I could root for a guy like Cameron Young. But, you know, I picked some winners outright. I divide up $100 each and every tournament. Every major tournament, I should say. So four times a year, and I pick three golfers to win. And I've had some success recently. I got Colin Morikawa on his first major, Matthew Fitzpatrick on his first major as well, that major championship victory. But my three picks this time, and they weren't bad picks. Like Victor Hovland was tied for 13th. Hideki Matsuyama was tied for 13th as well. And then I had Scotty Scheffler, who I had a rough tournament, and he ended up finishing even for the tournament. But it just shows that a guy like Scotty Scheffler, everyone thought, oh, he would have got at least one major this year with how hot he's been and right being the world number one golfer. And he didn't win a major championship this year and finished tied second at the PGA, you know, came close, but he didn't get the job done this year. So it's the toughest thing to predict, and anyone can get hot and anyone go up and have a remarkable run. Like, look, a few years ago, who would have thought Phil Mickelson a few years ago would add another major championship? That's the sport though. Look at Tiger, one of the more improbable comebacks ever, all self-inflicted, but look what Tiger was able to do. So it's the toughest sport to predict. There's no doubt about it. Coming on back, Zach Helps Show, CBS Sports.
Here's a special message from Briggs & Riley to every last-minute luggage packer, to those who hate packing around those annoying grooves in the bottom of your suitcase, to the challengers who try to cram a myriad of toothpaste, hairbrushes, and travel-sized shampoo bottles into the outer pockets. Many luggage has tried, and many have failed to accommodate the whim of the overzealous overpacker. Now there is a true sophisticated challenger. Briggs & Riley's perfect packing solution offers several casual, sophisticated collections that reflect the way we live and travel today. Their iconic outsider handle provides optimal capacity and flat packing inside. And only Briggs & Riley luggage has CX compression expansion technology, which increases capacity in the same size suitcase. The premium extra-wide garment panels help create additional compression to prevent shifting and wrinkling, so you can add more in a smaller space. And to the luggage handler who's extra hard on your luggage, Briggs & Riley will repair your luggage free of charge. No proof of purchase necessary. Clothes waiters and careless carriers, your match has been met. Visit Briggs-Riley.com for Briggs & Riley luggage.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
9 out of 10 women feel pressured to conform to unspoken hair rules.
To fit in the picture, you have to change your hair.
Your curls are only acceptable if they're perfect.
I don't see anything that tells you to embrace your gray.
People show up with different hair. We should celebrate that.
Let's embrace the beauty of all hair. New Dove Love Your Hair Collection is gentle and sulfate-free with customized skincare ingredients. To love your silver, love your waves, love your curls. Love the hair that makes you, you.
And I think that's beautiful.
New Dove Love Your Hair.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So, someone that used to work here also worked for Pro Football Focus when they worked here. And I like this person, so we'll keep him nameless. And I remember there was once I was doing a weekend overnight here when I hosted the weekend overnight show for about like almost 2 years. And there was some Pro Football Focus list that was out. And I kind of forgot that this person also worked for Pro Football Focus. And I remember saying, just in passing, I think it was to my old producer for the Weekend Overnights in Ben Horowitz, you know, this Pro Football Focus stuff, they give you some good content, some bad content. I think you have to take everything that they say, though, with a grain of salt because of how much it's data-driven. So the reason I say that is because they come out with the top 50 players in the NFL list. And I think most of the time people forget what lists are from a lot of, like, publications. Lists are made to get a reaction out of you. And sometimes people, if they're not trusted, make a list just to make a headline. But it's always tough to decipher if that's being done. So when I see this Pro Football Focus article, and I don't know how they came up with the rankings, but when I see that Jalen Hurts isn't considered a top 50 player by Pro Football Focus, that makes no sense to me. Because the player that was one on your list is Patrick Mahomes. I would not disagree with that for a second. But Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl outplayed Patrick Mahomes, even though the Chiefs won. So I don't see how you could say there are 50 players better than Jalen Hurts. Now, Joe Burrow is listed as the 10th best player. He's the second best quarterback. I think he should be higher up on the list. Josh Allen was ranked as the 12th best player. If you want to tell me, after those three names, that you can find one more quarterback, all right, you want to tell me Rodgers, fine. But the fact that they say that there are six quarterbacks in the top 50 and Jalen Hurts isn't one of them, that doesn't make sense to me. So for the quarterbacks, they went Mahomes 1, Burrow 10, Allen 12, Justin Herbert 35, Lamar Jackson 41, and Aaron Rodgers 45. I love Lamar. I don't think there's been more of a supporter on national radio for Lamar Jackson than me. Guy's been healthy the last 2 years. Justin Herbert has done squat in the postseason. And Rodgers, I don't think he should be at 45, even though he didn't have a great year last year. But the 2 years before that, he won 2 MVPs. And I mentioned three names earlier. And I know it's always tough because you have to look at all positions. Andrew Thomas had a kick-ass year last year. He's in the top 50, though. The offensive lineman for the Giants, and Jalen Hurts isn't. Deebo Samuel, if you want to tell me, and the reason why I brought up Deebo earlier, it's not because he hung up on us, and I was trying to get a jab in at Deebo. I don't care about that. Deebo had one great year, and last year then fell off, and he would even admit it. He did in our interview that he was horrible. So if you're just going to tell me that Jalen Hurts doesn't belong because he just had one great year, well, Deebo's on this list, and he just had one great year. And the quarterback position is more important. And then Jonathan Allen's been on the show before. Really good player for the Commanders, but he's a top 50 player in the league, and Jalen Hurts isn't. So the reason that I brought up the previous story, but I have to take everything with a grain of salt when it comes to Pro Football Focus, is Hickey, I don't know what data they use, but I'm assuming with what Pro Football Focus is about, that this is a data-driven list. Now, I don't know how they get to the data that suggests that Jalen Hurts isn't a top 50 player in the NFL, but I think a lot of people will say this list was made to get a reaction out of people. And this list was made where they went into it saying, oh, we won't put Jalen Hurts in it and Eagles fans will go crazy. I just think it's more so shows their data where how many times on a Sunday, and I'm not saying Pro Football Focus is bad. There's some things that we really like of theirs. But why I'm not going to get bent out of shape with this is because you look at a lot of the things that they do. How many times on a Sunday do you watch a player, you're like, wow, that guy was great. He wasn't even their top 10 rankings at the position. Or you see a guy that was horrible and choked the game away, and they try to tell you, statistically, he was the top 10 player this past week. So I'm going to assume that this was mainly data-driven, and it's just so ambiguous what the data is and how do you determine based on the data who's a top 50 player in the NFL.
Well, I think obviously we're seeing right now Pro Football Focus's biggest issue is that they are box score-driven, where it's just numbers. And we know, especially in the game, sometimes it doesn't matter what numbers you put up, it matters when you put them up. So even if you have a game of four catches and 50 yards, you could go, you know, catchless, yardless the entire game. But you have four catches on the last drive of the game-winning drive, 50 yards in the game-winning touchdown. We view you a lot differently than probably the computer does. And so that's also a big issue is that they just strictly look at the box score. And that's why guys like Kirk Cousins, not to pick on him, but he's a guy who does look pretty in the box score. But then you watch the game and you realize a lot of those numbers are hollow. We've seen computers are not watching any games. They can't judge hollow stats. They can't judge clutch and, you know, matter, you know, stats kind of when you need a drive or need a play to be made, which guy's doing it and who isn't. That's, I think, that's probably one of the biggest reasons why there's such a big disconnect in terms of who we value and who we think is good versus what Pro Football Focus spits out.
And I know that you just can't win the argument this way because the NFC talent pool is not that deep when it comes to quarterback, but he's the best quarterback in the NFC. You would think if you're the best quarterback in the NFC, you'd be a top 50 player in the NFL. And once again, I'm not telling you he has to be your third best quarterback in the NFL. Mahomes, Burrow, it's 1-2, no doubt. Josh Allen, with the season that he had last year, it's up for debate now if he's 3. I would still say he's 3. And then I would put Jalen Hurts 4. But if you wanted to tell me that Rodgers should be 4, and Hurts should be 5. Okay, I could live with that. But I don't get how you tell me that there are 6 quarterbacks in the league right now that are better than Jalen Hurts, and he's not even a top 50 player. So whatever data they have, I would love to know how you determine that, actually. But I would say go shove the data somewhere in not a nice spot because it doesn't make sense to me. And I understand there's going to be a vocal amount of people that go, oh, this was just to get a reaction out of people. I really do believe that Pro Football Focus believes everything that they put out. I really do. But in this case, this one, I would love to hear a further explanation of it, but then I think that would drive me insane because it's just stupid. Like, it's not even a thought. When I saw the headline, I go, oh, this must be a fake tweet or something like that. I don't get how you say that this guy isn't a top 50 player in the NFL, Hickey.
The only negative right now for him is that he's not done it long enough. Like, that's literally it. You can point out flaws of Justin Herbert. You can point out flaws of Lamar Jackson. With Jalen Hurts, it's literally 2 years as a starter, playoffs for a team that was on the rise, and Super Bowl appearance, second in the MVP voting. And like I said, played really good for the most part in the Super Bowl. There's not a lot of flaws outside of just legitimate experience or legitimate reps. You could say he's not one of right now the best quarterbacks, let alone best players going into this season.
And I don't think there's a lot of national disrespect for Jalen Hurts, but maybe I'm wrong after this list, as we were talking about earlier. And everyone's saying the Eagles are that team, and see the Eagles are 49ers this year in the NFC. Here's my question. How do you think right now, Hickey, and I'll go around the room on this. I'll bring in Marco on this as well. At the end of the year, how do you think we're talking about Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles based off what you think they're going to do this year?
Same way as this, like coming off of this year, I think really good. Best quarterback in the NFC, probably another top, I would definitely say top five, maybe top three MVP getter. And I think he's going to pick up where he left off.
Marco?
Yeah, I think the only thing is do the Eagles get back to the Super Bowl? That's the only question.
Yeah.
And that'll be how we view it, because that's part of what we just talked about with the way we look at stuff, not just numbers. If the Eagles fall short in a get upset in a divisional round or drop in the NFC title game, we'll put it as a knock on Hurts and the Eagles, but his actual play on the field, it's not going to drop.
Yeah, I think the world of Hurts in terms of his mentality, and I think it's very tough, even though you're in an advantage when you're a quarterback, to be the leader in the locker room, but you have a team that has some players that have won Super Bowls in a city that never won a Super Bowl before, right? You had a guy like Brandon Graham be a Super Bowl hero, a guy like Lane Johnson just be an absolute force for a while now, Jason Kelce, who's a legendary player for the Eagles, and Jalen Hurts being in that locker room before, they follow his lead. And I know it's easier when you're a quarterback, but still when you're young and you have guys that are more accomplished that have won, it's not the easiest thing to do. And it was. I remember when he won the NFC Championship game, I said to him, like, Jalen Hurts, you're going to the Super Bowl. Like, what processes and what goes through your mind on that one? And he goes, that we did our job. Like, it was as if they didn't even get. I was like, that's it? But that's who he is. He comes from that Nick Saban school of until the job is done, or the Kobe school as well, when he had two wins in NBA Finals. Job's not done yet. And I respect that from a quarterback.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't his dad a coach?
Yeah.
I think that's where it comes from. As much as we want to look, and it's not to knock some of the coaches that he's had and the Sabins and all that, I feel like this is something that's inert, that's in him. That's who he is. That's the person that he is. Because leadership, as much as we talk about it, it's something where you have to see it. It's hard to describe until you actually look at it. It's organic with Jalen Hurts, and I think it comes from his father. I think it comes from his upbringing. I think it comes from who he is, and guys see it, and they gravitate towards it. I don't think any of that's – sometimes you see they all know what the right thing to say, and they get PR'd really well. I don't think that's the case with Hurts. I think that's him.
And also, I thought the way that he handled the whole Tua situation, right, getting pulled and then staying there and then helping them out in the SEC title game when Tua gets hurt the year later and then going to Oklahoma and being a finalist for the Heisman but still not getting the praise because people never thought you'd be a great NFL quarterback. Then you get drafted in the second round. Oh, way too early.
And Carson Wentz is the guy. Oh, yeah.
All those things, even though he was so accomplished, he never really got the praise. And I think he feeds off of it.
That's a mentality. Mm-hmm. That's an inner confidence. He's not worried about whether or not you give him the credit. He knows what he wants to accomplish, and he's going to get to where he needs to get to, and none of that other noise, none of that other nonsense is going to bother him because he knows where he needs to go, and it's not a concern of his whether or not he gets praise from you or him or anybody else. He knows where he needs to be.
Bare minimum, I think, as long as Hurts is healthy, this team's going to an NFC title game this year. The line is still phenomenal, and they've gotten younger through the draft. You have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert is criminally underrated. And defensively, yes, they lost some pieces, but you still have Hassan Reddick coming off the edge. You got Darius Slay in the secondary. If this team isn't in the NFC title game, I know anything could happen, right? How many years? There are some times where Brady would have a bye and they would lose after the bye in the second round. It happens at a single
who's
elimination.
Healthy in what spot. I mean, yeah, you run into a bad matchup. Those are the things that the Eagles, that's the bumps on the road for them getting back to the Super Bowl or the NFC title game, whatever minimum point that you want to point at. They're good enough on paper. Yeah. They're good enough anywhere to be able to make another run. It's just a question of getting through the season and who's healthy and what your road leads to.
And put it this way, if at the end of the year we're saying Jalen Hurts is a one-hit wonder, I'd be really surprised by that.
No, that's what I mean. Look, they could get knocked off. Anything can happen. They get knocked off in the divisional round, and we look at it and go,
stinks.
Hey, you know what? This is a problem. You know, you have a bad day, whatever it is. I don't believe the play of Hurts all season long is going to show you that he's not what we think he is.
The second half of the baseball season is here, and each game means a little bit more. We're talking pennant races and wild card chases, with each pitch bringing us closer to the playoffs. The free Odyssey app lets you listen to live play-by-play of your local team, so no matter what you're up to, you'll never have to miss another game. Download the free Odyssey app today and keep baseball close by all summer long. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on The Zach Gelb Show.
So I think we're aligned on this, Hickey. Where soccer is not a sport that you really care for outside of the World Cup, I would say. Is that correct?
That is right.
So when the Lionel Messi news comes out that he's joining the Major League Soccer team in Florida, did you really care for it when you saw that release? I felt as if I was the kid that wasn't at the cool table at lunch in high school, because everyone's talking about this. And I go, okay, I understand it's Messi and how big of a deal it is, but it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to be excited or, you know, pretend to watch a sport in a league that I have, again, outside of once every 4 years, no real interest in.
I was a big Freddie Adu fan back in the day.
15-year-old? I was not really 15?
Something like that. No, that was Danny Almonte.
I thought Freddie Adu's age was lied about, too.
I don't think so. If I'm wrong on that, we will fact-check that. You said you were 29 earlier. Is that an actual age? So double check that. I don't think that's the case, but who knows? But anyway, Messi over the weekend in his first game, he got all the stars out. LeBron's there. He probably predicted this, if we're being real. And he has a free kick, and he ends up hitting it for the winner. And it was just awesome watching this on social media. I wasn't watching it live on Apple TV, but this is how it sounded. Listen up.
Here it is. Messi!
It was great, and you have to watch it too, just because all the different camera angles was awesome. But give a stock up to Messi for the big goal. And I was talking to Stuart Kovacs. I'm like, does this team have any shot of making the playoffs? They're like, they stink. So let's hope for the Major League Soccer case, they end up making a big push and making the playoffs. Brian Harman ends up winning the Open Championship, the final major of the year. And just tremendous with what he was able to do in round two of the tournament. That's where he won the tournament. But you could fall off after that, and he didn't do so. So give a stock up to Brian Harman. And finally, Nyheim Hines. I feel horrible for him. And this absolutely stinks. So he was just sitting there on a jet ski, and a jet ski hit him, Hickey, and now he's expected to miss the rest of the season because of a knee injury. Is that the right story there?
That's right.
Man. Just what a terrible luck for Nyheim Hines. That just stinks. So give a stock down to Nyheim Hines. All righty, that's the quick version of the closing bell today. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thank you to Jake Delhomme for joining us earlier, previewing the season first and goal style for the Carolina Panthers and talking about his expectations for Bryce Young. If you missed any of that, you could just use the rewind function on the Odyssey app, or you could go to X or Twitter. Probably should have given a stock down to Elon Musk, because I don't know what the heck he's doing. Making Twitter now called X and changing the logo and all that stuff. It's all confusing. But you could also go to my Twitter page, if we're still calling it that. You'll find the link in the bio, and you can find all of our segments for our podcast. Make sure you go rate, subscribe, do all that stuff. Follow me on the good old cesspool of Twitter as well, at Zach Gelb. And big thank you to Clay Harbor as well. Be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. It's Eagles Day tomorrow on First and Goal, as we continue to preview each and every team in the National Football League. Big thanks to each and every one of you, Hickey, as well. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.